Hey everybody, welcome back. It's episode 121 of Bucks UK TV. David and Phil are with me, and I'm also joined by podcast virgin Phil McKenzie. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And but other than that, you are quite long tenured, aren't you? So tell us a little bit about yourself first of all. How you became a Bucks fan, how you became a Bucks UK member.
So it goes back quite a long way. So I have some family over in Tampa. So when I was about 10 years old, we went for our first family holiday over there to visit them, and that was when I first became aware of the Bucks. That was 1979, and obviously quite an exciting year in Tampa at that time. Lots of things going about, and it was October as well. So I remember seeing some sort of games and highlights on TV, and my late uncle sort of spent some time explaining the games to himself and my brothers, and we got into it a little bit. Obviously, a couple of years after that, game started on Channel 4 in the UK, and we used to watch the weekly shows there. But probably after next holiday, we went to Tampa in '84, went to a pre-season game at the old Sombrero. Saw the Bucks beat the Dolphins with Marino playing as well. And that's when I really became hooked. And it was shortly after that, actually, that I think the Bucks UK was formed in late '84. And yeah, I joined up then, and I think
So
I'm
you are one of the founding members of the club.
yeah, some of that member number six, I think I am,
Six.
Phil. Is that right?
Yep. Smart
Yep.
goal.
And of course, next year will be the Bucks UK's 40th anniversary. So I'm just saying that that might give away your age. So
Yeah.
we are delighted to have you on the podcast. Long overdue and very, very welcome,
Thank you.
particularly in a week when, oh my gosh, the Bucks did some good stuff, isn't it? Well, this is going to be a happy week. Phil J, let's start with you, El Presidente. Tell us about the Packers game.
Well, I was very. I had a feeling we were going to beat the Packers. I don't know what it was, but we sort of. I'm a great believer in when you get to this time in the season and getting onto confidence runs. You know, it's all right going flying off 12 and 0 and then losing the next three. You get to the playoffs, confidence is down. Next thing you know, you've been dumped on your backside. But we're hitting form right at the right time, and I thought I before the game, I thought this is going to be a big tester of how good far Baker Mayfield's come. And the how far the rest of the team's come. And be quite honest, I think as somebody said, it's one of the most relaxed, easiest victories we've ever had at the frozen tundra up there in the hallowed ground of Lambeau Field.
I think the
So,
most
yeah.
points we've ever scored there, which,
Yeah.
given some of the games in the past, and we used to play them twice a year, is pretty bonkers.
Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
Phil, you must have seen us play the Packers many, many times. And they've always talk of the opening shot of the game was always a shot of the temperature dial, wasn't it, on the pitch side, and some bizarre record about the Bucks never winning when it's a bit chilly. Those days seem to be behind us now, don't they?
I actually saw a stat before the game at the weekend that since I think it's in the last 5 years or something like that, the Bucks have got one of the best records in away games up in sort of low temperatures in the north, which sort of surprised me as well. But yeah, going back to those old days, I remember lots of games, including the famous snowball game where the Bucks made the great decision to wear all white that day.
Well, it's probably because they had a colour-blind quarterback or something like that, you Happy days. But this game, Phil, it was presumably, as the other Phil says, we call him Phil Two, shall we? You can be Phil One. As Phil Two said, it was actually a comfortable game for once, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was just really enjoyable to watch for a change. You know, most of the games this season have been so frustrating, and it was great to see us actually get the offense moving and sort of clicking into place. And yeah, it was great to watch.
Stick with the offense then. Obviously, I think a lot of the headlines went to Baker Mayfield for his perfect performance. How impressed do we, I mean, we've got a bigger sample size now. Is Baker going to be the real deal for the Bucks? And spoiler, is he going to be around next year, do you think?
Personally, I think he is. I must admit, in the preseason, I was doubtful. I wasn't that enamoured when they signed Baker Mayfield, to be honest. Probably a lot of that is the come down from having Tom Brady for the last sort of 3 years, but he's really impressed me, to be honest. Even in the games where we've lost, or you know, they've been tight games, his attitude, and you know, he's just shown a lot of guts and passion, I think, and that shows through. But the game he played in Green Bay, yeah, I was clearly best we've seen of him.
Yeah, it was a long stint of the game, I think, before he even had his first incompletion. And David, I think in the past few podcasts, we've probably moaned about him overthrowing a few balls. There was probably one or two that got away, but I think it was a whole lot better, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he had good protection. He was picking out the right options a lot more. I think he was given a lot more options as well out there. I don't think their secondary is anywhere near that good. And I think he was able to find men open a lot more than he has in other weeks. But yeah, I mean, confidence is just growing and growing with this offense. And, you know, going back, it's not all Baker, the run game as well, every week lately, just been getting that little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And like you say, it's all starting to come together now. So it's really exciting times. So, yeah, I mean, just keep making the right decisions. He didn't do stupid things. He held onto the ball once a little bit too long, which... But early in the game, that's all right. We can recover from that. And we did. And like I say, by the time we got to the fourth quarter, yeah, it was really comfortable. It was really enjoyable.
Phil too. Kind of, as David said, things have been getting better and better. Now, earlier in the year, middle of the year, we were blaming the coaches. Things, you know, because things get worse. Does that mean when things get better, do we praise the coaches? Or is it the players?
I think it's the players to some degree. I mean, it's a bit of both really. But I thought that they coached the perfect game last night. I really did, you know. And obviously, somebody in the week must have introduced Baker Mayfield to Chris Godwin, saying, "Chris, this is Baker. Baker, this is Chris." Because I thought he used him last night better than I've ever seen him. But one word I will say is I thought that one of the reasons why Baker Mayfield played so well is I thought the O-line did well last night. I thought they started, because my big criticism coming into the season, people were being moved around, was new players coming in. And it takes time to gel an O-line. It does take time to gel. And, you know, it's no coincidence that White suddenly started coming to his own. Even Chase Edmonds has started to play his part as well. And I think, you know, a word of praise for the O-line here. I think it's all coming together at the right time, you know. Where's the Super Bowl this year, by the way?
I couldn't even tell you when at this point. No. But I think you're right. The O-line, I mean, I must admit, I tend to follow the ball and not look at the line. But from what I did notice is the blocking scheme for the run game seems a little bit changed up now. There seems to be a bit of, you know, guard pulling and hitting the point of attack a little bit more, more of a power game. In a way that we probably, you know, dare I say it, the run up the gut actually has become suddenly effective due to the fact that there's a lead blocker coming through. And it's just a little tweak like that that seems to have made all the difference. And I guess when I was sort of hinting about the coaches, obviously we're talking about Bowles, but also Dave Canales, it feels like the offense, Phil, one, feels like it's kind of come good a little bit, doesn't it?
Definitely has, yeah. And that was another thing that's great to see, you know, opening up the playbook a little bit. A lot of variation against the Packers, a couple of screen plays, and also bringing the tight ends into play, where a couple of weeks ago, I think we had a game where there wasn't a single target to a tight end. Yesterday, we got even Cole Keith catching a touchdown pass.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm pretty sure no one had that on their spread bet. Yeah. We would have got good odds on that.
Yeah. But yeah, going back to the coaching, I think you're right. We've been critical of them a lot throughout the season, and I think it's only fair to give them credit where it's due. And Canales, particularly yesterday, I thought played a great game.
I kind of felt like, I don't know whether it's pressure or the lack of pressure, I don't know. It just feels like everyone was just a little bit more relaxed. There wasn't that sort of tension of, oh, crikey, we're going to lose. It just felt like everyone was in their stride. And when we're relaxed, it just seems like we're a different Buccaneers team. And David, I mean, if we move to the defensive side of the ball, I think the same probably held true. I mean, I suspect player for player, compared to the last time we played the Packers, this is not as good a Bucs team, but I think they all just flowed around, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of youngsters in there, and it's just the offense. They're all learning and developing together. I think the one big thing to say is complementary football. Is lots of games this year, either the offense has played great and defense has been terrible, or the defense has been great and the offense hasn't done it. This was the first true game this year where all three phases turned up and delivered. And it just helps massively at each run, you know, it gives the defense a chance to rest, it gives the offense momentum. And I think that's a real key, is like the whole units are growing together and developing, and they're starting to find out who's the best fits in each position and moving forward. So, yeah, I mean, defense looked a better scheme last night. Yeah, actually did look more organised. I mean, towards a little bit at the end, they started to have a couple of
hello zone
open
football.
Plays, hello zone, prevent is and prevent. But again, even that, they tied it down pretty quickly and learned. They're learning on the job a lot more. And I think that's collectively Dave Canales is learning on offense as it goes. Rashard Wright and the O-line are learning as they go. Defense and linebackers, KJ Britt coming in. Everybody is developing really quickly now. And that's just great to see.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call. I wonder, whoever's got like access to because all the playbooks are all on iPads now. They need to go on iCloud and just delete all the pages that have zone coverage. There is no benefit to us ever playing zone coverage ever again. Phil El Presidente, I think David touched upon one player I wanted to mention there in terms of Britt. I think he had a bit of a standout game, didn't he?
Very much so. Very much so. I was very impressed with him. And you got to start questioning whether Devin White, you know, did we miss him at all? And the answer is no. But I always think, you know, we've got two defences at Tampa Bay. One when Lavonte David plays and one when he doesn't. Because the guy is just an inspiration. You know, inspiration all the way. He was all over the field. My biggest concern with our defense, but was I thought Shaq Barrett was, you know, was quiet, and JTS, I'm very quickly losing faith of that man, to be quite honest. But yeah, they're very good, and
I mean they both got on the stat sheet, and I think JTS seemed to Shaq Barrett, although he only got half a sack, it felt like he was in the pressure was a little bit better for him maybe than it had been in other games.
But go on. You said earlier, you said it looked more relaxed, and I said earlier it was confidence. Was one equals the other?
Yeah,
you know, the more confidence they get, the more relaxed they played. You know, the more, you know, it was very encouraging last night.
And Mr. McKenzie, who were the standout players for you then on D, do you think? Obviously, we mentioned Britt.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Winfield and David are just so consistent in their play at a high level. I thought Britt, again, the last few weeks has been, you know, outstanding as well. And as we've seen over the last few weeks, a few of the other younger players, as David mentioned, just stepping up, you know, likes of McCollum, and you know those guys.
Yeah, it felt like the secondary, that young secondary. We've seen Diaby and Britton, some of the front seven that sort of coming and Kansi, I guess, earlier in the year. But this did seem to be the time at which the secondary stepped up. And like I say, it does take time. I think it takes time for an offensive line to gel. It does take time, I think, for a secondary to gel. And again, David, other than the zone scheme, which we all think is horrible, I guess in terms of the amount of pressure and the number of times they were dialing up the blitz, it felt like a bit of a game of chess out there at times, I thought.
Yeah, it was. And I think blitzing at the right time. But also, I just think going back, having Lavonte David in the backfield gives them that confidence to blitz. You know, you can see Winfield and like coming through, and they know they've got cover and experience behind them when they do go for it. I think a lot of times earlier in the season, particularly at spell when he was out, we were very hesitant. And, you know, that's when just the communication, everyone's nervous out there. But yeah, I think the scheme actually worked a treat last night. I think it was really good. Picking the right time. And once we went through them, we just kept blitzing and blitzing and really putting the pressure on, and that took them out of the game. So, yeah.
I think the only times when I think the Packers seemed to have a bit of a, they got a bit of a groove on, apart from the garbage time stuff, there was a few times where they went hurry up, and I felt like that probably caught us a little bit on the hop. And there were a few times where they went really slow. They got to the line early, took a look at what we had offered, maybe did a bit of a hard count, and like, you know, work out where, who's blitzing? Okay, who's blitzing? They called audibles, and then we still blitzed. We didn't change the play. And that felt like also where we were a little bit maybe vanilla or a bit legible. And it feels like, I feel like, you know, actually for next week's game, if on the week after, and we'll come on to talk about those in the next episode. But that's probably something we want to change up. Because if other coaches have seen that, if you come out the huddle early and wait there long enough, we'll show our hand. And that probably doesn't feel like somewhere we want to be. And then, obviously, Mr. McKenzie, as an avid podcast viewer, you'll know how much I care about special teams. It yes. is, after all, in quotes, a third of the game, trademark, patent pending. How do you think special teams fared? I mean, obviously, these days it was a lot of fair catching, but...
Yeah, apart from that, it was solid. And, you know, we only punted the ball once, which, you know, incredible again.
But it did go twice the length of the field.
It was huge.
And the other thing, special teams this year, McLaughlin is solid and reliable from any distance, I think.
So that was a game changer, I feel like, as well, wasn't it? There were several drives where, you know, the Bucks, you know, wanted to come away with two drives in the first half. You know, the fact that we came away still with points was, I think, massive, wasn't it? You know, the fact we could go in at the half and be up was a big momentum shift. We haven't got Gary on to talk about trick plays, but David, overall, you know, if we're grading this Bucks performance, you said it's probably the one of the season. So high score.
Yeah, I just think we should just quickly mention Dave Moore.
Oh, of course. As in, not the one that we normally care about. It's been a while since we've heard Dave Moore.
What a reception, but oh my God, how much was our heart in our mouths when they were checking that play. But I mean, what
run,
a play.
Dave, run, 52 yards,
I mean, that was a real splash, wasn't it? I mean, that was a killer. So, I mean, he deserves a special mention for that, I think.
All right, game ball to Dave Moore, not the one on the radio.
The one on 1 inch into the end zone.
Incredible. That was all good. Yeah, but kind of overall report card grade, though, where what all round Bucks performance, is this as good as it gets? Or, you know, is this a B or is this an A? Is there still some improvement?
Green Bay aren't a special team. So let's put some sort of context around it. They were, 6-6 going in. Mm. Actually, the whole league is very average this year, isn't it? Is there a standout team in the league this year? I'm really not sure. But they were 6-6. We said at last week's podcast they were there for the taking, and we went and delivered. And we did it comfortably and well. So, I mean, you're looking... We did as well offensively as you could. The top quarterback rating, you can't argue about. Defense did easily enough, holding them to 20 points. So you've got to say that's a good A-minus, haven't you?
A-minus.
You can only play what's in front of you.
Mr. McKenzie, is this as good as it gets? Is there more to come from these Bucks?
I think there probably is, but you know, we can't really complain at that performance yesterday. There's still a few little niggles that we'd like to see cleaned up. I mean, I'd like to see us get the right 11 personnel on the pitch, you know.
Oh, you're fussy. You want 11 players on the field.
Yeah, but...
better than the 9 we had last week.
Yes.
So but, report grade for you, overall score for the Bucks.
Yeah, I think I'd agree an A-.
A-. And from you, Phil, same grade?
I've written A- as well. But I honestly think, you know, I think you have to remember, when we started at the beginning of the season when we were doing all the doom and gloom predictions, and we all said we've got a season where we're going to have to rebuild, got no cap space, couldn't sign anybody, and here we are. We've won the last 3, and if I'd have said to you before, after the Panthers game, we're going to win in Atlanta and Green Bay, you'd think I'd have needed help. But yeah, we have, and I think it's fantastic, and I think there's a lot more to come.
Sorry, Kieran. I was just going to say, I think that's a great point, just putting it into context and the expectation as well. But on top of that, I was talking to my youngest son today, and he was saying how frustrating it is some of those other games that we should have won, the likes of the Atlanta, the Texans, and the Colts games, you know, that were close, and we could have come away with, you know, maybe one or two wins there as well. And the record would have been, you know, would be even better. So, as you say, Phil, given the context and the expectations that we had at the start of the season, you know, I'm okay, happy with, you know, where we are, because, you know, it's still in our hands, and we're, you know, we're top of the division.
I think, you know, you got to remember, the NFL is so close. We talk about parity and the draft system and the salary cap. If you go along at any NFL team and add one touchdown a game to their results, the record normally shifts around. Yeah. I think the one thing for me, we're coming to now talk about like what we want to work on, or what the areas of improvement should be, what we focus on in training, wave your magic wand, something like that. For me, I want to wave my magic wand towards turnovers. It feels like we aren't getting many interceptions, but we're forced. I mean, we obviously had a fumble yesterday, but overall, we're not turning, you know. Earlier on in the year, or last year, the Bucs defense asserted itself through turnovers. And it feels like, for me, that's the one area I'd want to see improvement in. David, what for you is the focus for the week ahead?
I mean, like yourselves, we're talking about the game next week in the next podcast.
In terms of, if you're the coach and you're working in training, or you want to wave your magic wand, what's the one focus for the week ahead?
You just keep that momentum going. You just keep that belief. You keep positivity. And let him enjoy the ride.
Okay, and for you, Mr. McKenzie?
For me, yeah, similar to David, I think now it's just consistency, just continuing with this level of performance, and, you know, carrying that on for the rest of the season, and just making it consistent through all phases. You know, I think we've all just been wanting all season solid performance from all three phases, and we got that yesterday. We just need to keep it going.
Consistency is all we ask. Yeah, and Phil, you can get the final word.
You're going to say building on what we've got, building the confidence, growing it, but also a bit more stopping the run. I thought when Aaron Jones started running through us in the first quarter, I thought, oh dear. And we sort of don't. We seem to sort the problem out by about half time, but can we try to work on stopping the run for all four quarters, because the next two games are going to be quite critical in that area.
Okay, agreed. And so you guys at home, you watch the game as well. Let us know in the chat exactly what you think the focus should be for the week ahead. We will see you in a couple of days' time, where we'll be previewing both the Jaguars and the Saints game, because we record this on a Monday night. Next Monday's Christmas. I'm not doing a podcast. Otherwise, I'll probably be single by Boxing Day. So we're doing a double bubble for the next episode. Don't miss out. Join us then. And until then, go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
Go Bucks! Go Bucks.